question comes, was Nicodemus an ignorant man? Was he dumb? Well, according to what we understand, he was of the ruling class, and he was one of the top educated men in the Pharisees. So, why did we make him out to be not too smart? Obviously, he knew Jesus was talking about spiritual matters and relating it to physical matters. So why did he say, well, how can an old man become born again? Does he go back into his mother's womb again? I believe Nicodemus was smarter than that. And this is what I think. Nicodemus was not saying, giving the analogy of the physical, what he was saying is this. I'm Nicodemus. I have been through a lot as an old man. I have been through things that have transformed me in my life. I have been through things that have changed my heart. I have been through things that have made me at times bitter. At times I have lost this, I've gained that. And all these experiences, I lost a child when she was just a baby. And you're telling me I can start all over again and become a new person? How can an old man that has experienced all these things start over again? Jesus said, what's flesh is flesh, and what's spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I tell you, you must be born again. Being born again is a spiritual birth. And you begin to walk in a new kingdom with a spiritual nature, not a physical nature. You begin to see things in your life change. And for me, I see that more as what Nicodemus was trying to get across to Jesus. Do you remember that, Jesus? Do you not understand all the stuff I've been through? Do you not know what I have done? Have you not heard I went to prison? Have you not heard I killed so-and-so? Have you not heard I stole? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? And so many people don't come to Christ because of that very reason. They come and they say, I can't be like you. I've goofed up too much. My life is a mess. And God says, marvel not that I tell you. Don't get all excited here that you must be born again. You've got to change. And the way you change is there's a spiritual birth that happens. You become a new man from the inside out. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And how do they become new? You still live in the house you have. You still are married to the same person. You still have the same children. How do you change all that? It is changed within you. And it changes this way. It changes your vision, how you see things. It changes your hearing, how you hear things. It changes your precepts or your perceptions. It changes your desires. It changes your feelings. It changes your loves. It changes your motivations. It changes your thoughts. It changes your truth. And it changes the ruler in your life. For those that are not Christians, did you know they have a ruler in their life? Certainly they do. If it's not their own passions and desires, it's someone else's control. In Christ, Christ becomes our ruler. And all the things that ruled us in the past are dropped. Where once there was a weak man, now there is a strong man. Where once there was one who feared, now fear is cast out. The scripture said God's perfect fear is cast out through love, his love. Now, how many of you have heard this week, if you watch the news, about the Kuwaiti royal prince Abdullah al-Sabah converting to Christianity? Anybody ever heard? media's not going to tell you that. Oh, they're going to hide it. That's why I don't watch the news. It's deceptive. It's perverted for the news. Kuwaiti royal prince Abdullah al-Sabah converted Christianity from Islam. He stated this: if they kill me because of it, then I will appear before Jesus Christ and I will be with Jesus forever. He then said, I will accept whatever they do to me because the truth in the Bible has guided me towards the right path. And you will might hear in the media that the crown prince, Abdullah al-Sabah, died. But they won't say hi. He was a man who was terrified in his position. He was afraid of his father. He was afraid of his position. It says that he was terrified that something would happen to him while he was in office. He was a man who was scared to death all the time about losing his position or something. And now Abdullah is saying to the world, and he said it openly, publicly, I am following Jesus. I've accepted Jesus. You know what that is? That is a death wish. People here in America would do a Christian Protestant. Why did he keep quiet? He'd still be alive. Because he read this scripture verse. He said he read Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So Abdullah, the crown prince of Kuwait, has made a statement to his country. I am a Christian. I have renounced Islam. We had a young man here in our church, and he was a former Muslim. He accepted Christ, as you know, remember, and then he disappeared. I know that he disappeared because of sources, but anyway, to make a long story short, I want you to understand that when we come to that point where we don't recognize or cease to recognize that our witness should be public and also our ministry. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes. Because when you see, we don't even see the world the same way. We don't see our jobs the same way. Why am I going to job here? Just for the kingdom of God. Why am I going to college? To build the kingdom of God. Why do I have children? To bring them up in the kingdom of God. Why do I eat? To stay alive so I can build the kingdom of God. Why do we miss that? And because we have not developed ourselves with the eyes of Christ. We have not worked on our spiritual development. Let me say this. Yesterday, Gail and I went to the cafeteria. Now, we go to the cafeteria every once in a while because I like vegetables. I get tired of fast food or some of the stuff we have at home. I want their vegetables. They got all kinds of vegetables. I love to get a vegetable plate. So we went to the cafeteria. We sat down and ate, and after we got up, there was a man sitting, an older gentleman, sitting with a bunch of teenage boys around at a table. And they all had Samaritan on the shirt. All shirts looked and said, on the back it said, Samaritan. And I said, she said, did you see, we started to go out to pay for our dinner. And she said, did you see those guys? And I said, yeah. She said, you reckon they work for Samaritan's Purse? I said, I don't know. She said, well, it says Samaritan on their back. And I said, yeah. She said, stood there a second, I paid for the meal, and she said, let's pay for it. And I said, okay. She said, you can go get the ticket. So I walked over and I stood there and I said, how can I do it? I see you had Samaritans. Is that for Samaritans first? He said, no. He said, I'm from Morgan Baptist Church, wherever that is, downtown or something. He said, we have a ministry. It's called Samaritan Men's Ministry. And what we do is we go get young men and we disciple. Yes! This is church. He had three young men there, all 16. He says, I go and I pick them up on Saturday morning when we go out to eat, and then I take them on ministry and we go do ministry together. He said, hopefully I get a new one every week, so we rotate them in and stuff. I said, y'all do that every week? He said, different ones, so we had three men to do it. I said, well, good. He said, I've been doing this for 7 years now, but it's gotten better and better. I said, well, I took the time to do it. Anyway, I said, I'd like to talk to you sometime about that ministry. I think maybe our church would do something like that. He said, yeah, that would be. He said, I'm at Morehead at the church and so on. So I said, can I send you a ticket? Because I didn't see it on the table. I'd have reached out and grabbed it, but I didn't see it on the table. He said, yeah, well, he pulled it out of his pocket, and he said, here it is. I said, thank you. And I took it from him, and I said, I'm paying for your meal. And he just looked at me, and he said, excuse me? And I said, God wanted us to pay for your meal. And he said, that gives me extra money to help these young men. And I said, yes. Now, I want to back that up a second. I'm not bragging about that. I really am not. Because I have a point. Earlier in the day, Gail went to get a car. They told her it would be over $250 because they had changed some transmission fluid. So she comes back, and it's $150, not $245 or whatever. And she said, okay, this is good. I know they told me over $245. Did you not do something? He said, wait a minute. He looked at me and said, they put it in wrong. But you go ahead and take it. I'm not going to change it now. But they made a mistake. So Dale said, I just got the money. Now, the average worldly person would say this. Wow, I got an extra $100. Let me go buy a new pocketbook. Let me go buy some new tires. Let me go buy to take my wife out to a meal. Let me. Gail said, when she saw that, she said, God saved me money so that I can apply it to this ministry. But how many Christians would see it that way? And the reason is because we have not developed spiritual eyes. We have not developed kingdom eyes, or kingdom hearts, or kingdom ears. Sometimes Christians come into the kingdom and they just become named. Phenomenal Christian. They don't ever do anything. They don't ever grow spiritually. They don't ever try to grow spiritually. Now, I have some things here that I want to share with you how you grow because I believe it's important. I saw an illustration of this, and I want to give you this. There was a pastor who said he went and got LASIK surgery. He had had glasses most of his life. And when he got LASIK surgery, he started walking around and said, I couldn't see. Couldn't see a thing. And he said, this didn't work. I can't see. He called the doctor. The doctor said, there is a period of adjustment. Your brain has to adjust to new eyes. What you need to do is, I gave you a sheet of paper. There are exercises there for you to do with your eyes to develop the mind to the eye concept so that your eyes see the right way in your mind. So he had these exercises. He had to work on them to develop the new eyes that he had so they would work with his brain. He said that that's the way it is when you become a Christian. You have new eyes. But if you don't develop those eyes, you're almost no good. What do we do? We have the eyes of the world. I have an extra $100. How can I use that money now? It's mine. I think the reason we do things the way we do is out of fear. If you think about it, if you really think about it, most of the time we do the things we do out of fear. I'm going to lose my income. I could lose my health. I could lose, if I miss a car payment, I could lose my credit scores. If I do this, I lose this. If I don't do this, I will. I've got to do this because if I don't do this, I work every Sunday. If I don't work every Sunday, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my career, I'll lose everything. Excuse me for using that illustration, but I think more and more people are that way. Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear the Lord. I have three points, three ways that you develop spiritual. I've got the first one is prayer, worship, and meditation. Knowing Christ and coming into his presence is a key to new life. You see, he is the vine, we are the branches. And it's like the sap flowing through us. The more we worship him, the more we meditate on him, the more we pray, the more that sap flows, the more we become like him. And the more we become like him, the more we see things the way he sees them. Two, scripture must be a part of your life, for it's the truth of God. Some turn to secular education, some turn to research, some turn to social media, some turn to personal opinions, but all those things are the education of the world. And by the way, they expand your mind, but in many times the wrong way. I'm not saying that you shouldn't know and gain knowledge. And please, Preston, don't think I'm saying don't go to college and study. Yeah. What I am saying is, study in light of the way God sees it. Study in the way you're building the kingdom. And the last third one is, practice acts of Christ in general community of men. And by the way, here I want to make a note of this. Notice it says, in the general community of man. Let me say that again. In the general community of man. What does that mean? Hear me. Listen to me. It's easy for us to minister to one another in a church. We all love each other. It's like ministering to people in my family. That's easy. I mean, buying something for my grandkids is easy. It's hard when you don't even know anybody and you give them some money. Or you help them. You see, ministry doesn't really become ministry until we minister where we don't get any credit in this world with our family or anybody else. That's real ministry. Yes, we do need ministry in this body. We need to lift each other, encourage each other. These include, but not limited to, benevolent acts, witnessing, speaking, teaching, preaching, prophesying, gifts of giving and healing. To neglect any one of these is to become un- and underdeveloped as a Christian. Discipleship in the full development of a Christian to the point that they are change agents in the world in the kingdom of God. We are not called to be good people. say that again. I can say it a thousand times. So many Christians say, God has called us to be good people. He's not called us to be good people. He's called us to be obedient servants. Follow Jesus. To do what he wants us to do. To go where he wants us to go. That's what it means to be a Christian. I would encourage you that the month's theme is this. Claim the miraculous. For some of us, we say it would be a miracle if I ever did so and so. It would be a miracle if I prayed every day. It would be a miracle if I studied the Bible every day. I don't have time. It would be a miracle if I were able to pray with somebody and hold their hands right. It would be a miracle. God has just said, claim miracles. Miracles are what God's all about. He wants us to do the things that we need. This month and the coming months. Let us pray. Jesus, help us to be people of the miraculous. People who trust in you to do the miraculous. People who constantly study to show ourselves the truth of God, a worker that does not propose or need to propose. Right now, open our hearts and our minds to what it means to walk with new eyes and